WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also follow the regular way, hang out and chat, become a subscriber, you know, because that's important, and, you know, or listen to the archive. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. We're excited because it is Pop Goes the Rack, guys. It is the last show of the year. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve here in the U.S. If it's already New Year's Eve for you guys elsewhere, Happy New Year. If you're listening to this after the New Year's always happened, Happy New Year. But oh my gosh, 2021 is coming to a close. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're live. Oh, okay. We're doing a thing. It's a show. It's The Rack. It's live. It's Pop Goes The Rack. I haven't been live in a week. Lindsay's been live at twitch.tv/LindsayWard. But we're live here on twitch.tv/DiverTierLive, wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com. You can tweet us at wildtalkradio, at rockradioshow, or at LindsayWard. Come to the websites I just mentioned to interact with us live as we make fun of Brian for the final time in 2021 on air.
It's exciting. I'm excited.
To make fun of Brian? I mean, it's a good pastime of ours.
It's always fun to make fun of Brent.
But we have some stuff to get into. We have a pay-per-view to discuss. We have a television special to discuss. And so much more. So let's get into some stuff.
Yeah, let's jump right into the news. Back to our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And this is where I should have been prepared because I don't have the sheet up. So stand by 1 second because I was fucking around on Twitch.
So here's the thing, chat. News has happened this week. One of the stories that has happened is Mercedes Martinez has signed with All Elite Wrestling.
Yay! Good for her. Woo!
She made her official debut last night on AEW Dynamite, attacking Thunder Rosa, costing her spot in the finals for the TBS Championship, which will be up for grabs next Wednesday on the first ever AEW Dynamite on TBS on, what was that, the 5th?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so the TBS Championship is online. Jade Cargill and Ruby Soho, I believe, are going to be competing for the first ever TBS Championship.
Ooh, fancy!
So yeah, that's a good move for her. She had a little run in Impact, and now she has moved on to AEW. It's good move for her. Good, it'll help grow the division with young talents such as Tay Conte and Anna Jade, who need some guidance along the way. She has so much experience; she can help grow those talents. And a lot of the girls in the back that need some talent, she can give advice to Britt, who is improving. But you know, some veteran guidance is always good. And you know, another solid worker is always a good thing to have.
Yeah, especially when you consider that they don't have a lot of that, especially in the women's division. Like, they have that with the men, and it's always great to get advice from your peers. But, you know, it's a male perspective versus a female perspective, not to make it a sexual thing, but it's like, it's Mercedes has done some things that some of the guys haven't done, and the guys have done some things that Mercedes hasn't done. So it's just, it's a different perspective for Britt and for all the other women in the back. And she's an incredibly talented worker, so they'll all just benefit greatly from her being there.
Yeah, between her and Serena Deeb, they have two veteran voices to really help grow that division.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
So, all right. And in other news, and really rather a surprise, and there's not a lot on this, and we're not really going to delve too deeply into this, but this was kind of a shock. This came out the other day. Toni Storm requested her release from WWE. It was granted, so she's no longer with the company. No official statement has been issued from Toni or WWE in terms of the parting of the ways. It's understood that it is mutual. And we, you know, wish her the best of luck with whatever's going on. I hope everything's okay with her.
Some say burnout. Some say that it's just what it is. She fulfilled her obligations. She was very content. She did not like staying backstage, not having anything to do. But that changed in the last few weeks, where she's been a featured member of the women's division on SmackDown, feuding with Charlotte Flair. She's been in high-profile matches on the house show circuit this past week with Sasha and Charlotte, so there was nothing wrong that happened in the ring. She's someone who, she's about to get married to Juice Robinson, who we all remember from the show way back in the day. I believe that was Mr. Man Panties.
Yes, Mr. Man Panties.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to get married. They're travelers. She's not from the States. So maybe living here is a little much for her. Who knows? There could be a whole bunch of things that could be going on. And it's only up to her to tell her story. And maybe one day she'll find her way back to WWE. Maybe not. Maybe she'll go to AEW. Maybe she'll go back to New Japan. Go to New Japan. Go back to the UK. It depends where they want to set up home base. So
well, he's based in Japan. He works a lot in Japan.
Or was working a lot in Japan.
Was working a lot in Japan. He was working a lot in Europe and over there, because she was based out of the UK for a long time. They found her through Progress and a few other promotions, and that's sort of where she came from. And so she was UK based for a long, long time, and they brought her over to be part of NXT. And COVID happened, and when COVID happened, she kind of got sidelined, like a lot of other people got sidelined, and then they never really did a lot with her in NXT.
She's also gone through a lot of confidence issues.
Yeah.
In her past, things have happened and whatnot. And yeah, so.
So who knows? I mean, if she is happy and she is content in the decision, then that's all that matters. We can sit here and spitball and speculate. It's not healthy for anybody to do. But it's her choice. She made it. And if she's happy, good for her. Girl, go do your thing.
You do you. You become the star you're born to be, and the sky's the limit. So it's not, oh my God, I can't believe WWE released someone after the holidays. No, she wanted out.
Asked for it and they granted it.
This was her decision. This was not a WWE decision. If WWE wanted to, had their way, she would still be around. She wanted to go and they made it, they let it happen. It left a lot of people shocked and here we are.
So that is the news for our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Now we're going to talk about day one. Hold up your fingers, y'all, because it's going to be here in Atlanta. By the way, I keep getting emails for it. If you're in the Atlanta metropolitan area, you're in Georgia, you're within driving distance to get to day one, there are still limited tickets available if you should like to go.
Tickets are selling well.
Check Ticketmaster to see what's available. I myself, I'm not going. Because I don't leave my house on New Year's Day because it's bad luck. So I will be watching it from home on Peacock live with everybody else. So we're just going to run down the matches really, really, really quickly.
Hold on, really quick. Which means we'll be live following For the Rack Extra Reviews day one. Hold up your fingers. Saturday night.
Yes.
Which means, chat, if you haven't figured out, we're probably not doing CB Radio. Letting you know.
Or Fortnite with Friends.
Or Fortnite with Friends, but mainly we're not doing CB Radio. We came to this decision earlier today.
Ding.
Me and Brent had a conversation.
As long as you and Brent had a conversation and the others are aware, it's fine.
The others are not aware, but they were informed a while ago that okay. We may not be happening. But new things are planned for the show, though. Chat. Me and Brent had some discussions for CB Radio. So January 8th, we return with new ideas.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Content. Hashtag content.
Ding. So let's get into the matches.
The first one that's on our list is the kickoff show match.
So these are the matches that are scheduled at this time, as we're all very painfully aware. WWE has experienced some issues with COVID, and so these are the ones that are still on. Card is subject to change depending on what it all is happening with the health situation in the company. So I just am going to stipulate that. As we're making picks, if you're listening to this in the archive or live, these are what we have. These are what we know are going. They haven't canceled anything as of yet. But card subject to change.
Yeah, card subject to change, and they're doing the best they can with what's going on. So let's get into it.
So we have Sheamus and Ridge Holland taking on Ricochet and Cesaro. This feels wrong, and I'm going to tell you why. They are making Sheamus and Cesaro fight each other, and they shouldn't do that.
Sheamus has a new best friend in Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland has admired Sheamus his entire life.
He is work married to Cesaro.
But Ridge Holland has stolen Sheamus' love, and they've been feuding with Cesaro the last few weeks on SmackDown. Ridge Holland, as mentioned, has loved Sheamus since he's been a wee little wet lad back in the day. So Ridge
change any of this.
I understand it, but that's the story they're telling. So Sheamus' new apprentice, Ridge Holland and Cesaro, have been battling, and Cesaro and Sheamus have been battling, and now they will team up. On the kickoff show of day one. I don't know how Ricochet fits in this. I guess he's just a body. And it probably had something to do with the battle. Not the battle royal. It was not battle royal. It was gauntlet match. The 12 days of Christmas gauntlet match. That happened on SmackDown this past week. Which with Sami Zayn won. By the way.
Joe Sami Zayn.
So he's now the number one contender for the Intercontinental title. Against Shinsuke Nakamura. Which may or may not be added to the show. I assume it's probably on SmackDown next week. Because tomorrow SmackDown is... The top 10 moments of SmackDown. Or top 10 moments of WWE.
Yeah, it's a clip show, so they're not doing anything live because obviously it is New Year's Eve and they're going to be here New Year's Day, so it just makes sense to just do a clip show. However Ricochet fits into this, it doesn't matter because this match is probably going to be exceptionally good considering who all's in it.
Yeah, I mean, you got Ricochet, Sheamus, Cesaro, Ridge Holland, and Ricochet's awesome. And they'll get some time on the kickoff show, so.
Yeah, so don't miss this one. Should be very entertaining. As for who's going to win, I'm guessing it's probably going to be Sheamus and Ridge Holland. Because it feels like Cesaro and Ricochet are kind of pieced together.
They are pieced together, but it's a kickoff show, so I'm kind of leaning towards Cesaro and Ricochet. So Ricochet and Cesaro is my pick.
I'm going to go with Sheamus and Ridge.
You're going with Sheamus and Ridge. So this is where we got to bring out the old Magic 8-Ball. Magic 8-Ball. Will Cesaro and Ricochet pick up the win? It says Alok Natsu.
You traitorous whore. It is literally the second to last day of the year. And you betray me.
So now we gotta go to the magical wheel of fun.
Wrestler 1.
Which would be Sheamus.
See, the wheel likes me.
And Rich Holland. Alright, main show time. What do we got?
Raw Tag Team Championships are on the line as RK-Bro takes on the Street Profits. I don't want them to fight. I want them to be friends. Like, just think of the comedy. Good lord.
Oh, I don't know, but good lord. Montez and Randy, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. Like, this is good. This is another one that is going to be really, really good with who all's in this match. But, I mean, there's kind of a rumor that they want to break Montez out on his own. So maybe they're trying to see what he's capable of doing against Randy. I don't know. But this is going to be good in terms of the tag team championships.
I think it's still too early to take the belts off of RK-Bro.
They've got a good thing going there. They really, really, really do. They have an excellent thing going there. I say it stays with RK-Bro. I don't think it moves.
Because it feels like we're headed to Randy and Riddle at WrestleMania. But then at the same time, Randy's falling in love with Matt Riddle a lot lately. And they're becoming more friendly as the weeks go on. They're hugging on Raw. So who knows?
I feel like Randy is having the best time he's had in probably years. With Matt Riddle, just because it's utter stupidity and it's super easy for him to do. Like, he, as we all know Randy, he doesn't necessarily like to do a lot sometimes, which is fine. We've all been there. So, you know, the fact that this is, he just rolls up to work and Riddle carries like 90% of it and he's just the straight guy. Like, I think Randy's completely down for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, And it's a good act. It's funny. It's entertaining. Is it stupid? Of course it's stupid, but that's why we all enjoy it, because it's the right kind of stupid. Because Riddle just owns it, right? He's so into it, and he's so out there, and he's all about it, that it works.
Because there's bad comedy, and then there's really good comedy. We see a lot of bad comedy in wrestling and in general. But you hear the things that Matt Riddle says, and it comes off as stupid, right? To the normal person. But you hear it come out of his mouth and go, I can believe this is stuff going on in his head, and this is stuff he's actually saying. It's not verbiage he's given. This is stuff that's really going on in this man's head, which makes it so much better.
Right?
Like, these random tangents he goes on, you know he's had those moments because reasons. So yeah, the team works. And again, this should be a really good match. I'm saying RK-Bro on this one.
Yeah, I say RK-Bro. I just don't see them changing anything.
Magic 8-Ball, the Street Profits become tag team champions? Awesome. Whoa, they want the champs to lose the belts. All right.
8-Ball's being spiteful tonight.
Wrestler 2.
Same with the wheel. They want new champs.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see if it happens. I mean, the Street Profits would be a perfectly good choice. There's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, they're equally as talented, but I just think they have a great thing going with Riddle and Randy.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree.
In a rather interesting matchup, call it interesting, you have Drew McIntyre taking on Madcap Moss.
One, I wonder if Corbin's hurt a little bit.
Could be.
Or they're setting up to break up Madcap and Corbin, and if Madcap loses, they break up. I don't know. This should not go more than 5 minutes. If it does... Okay. Maybe they'll go 7, but it should not go longer than 7. It should not go longer than 5. Drew McIntyre should wipe the floor with Madcap Moss. He should get some shots in, but Drew should hit the Claymore, get out of town, raise his sword, head to the Royal Rumble, whether he's challenging for a championship or competing in said Royal Rumble match, because that is happening at the end of January. This is just a way to showcase Mr. McIntyre.
Agreed. I'm 100% there with you. I think Drew wins hands down. This should be quick. This should be simple. This should make Drew look like a boss. Not that he really needs help with that. But I feel like, yeah, this, no offense to Madcap Moss, but this should just basically, he beats up Madcap to get to Baron Corbin, and then Drew and Corbin fight at some point.
Because they're treating the show like a big deal. Like, they have we see the two big championship matches. You have Edge on this show. You have a big women's championship match. They're treating this like a big time event, because it's day one. Hold up your finger, And they want to make this an annual tradition of, hey, we're starting off the year with WWE action. So what happens when they move to Mondays or Tuesdays? Anyway, it doesn't, that's beside the point. Just Drew's just going to walk away. So it's like, the point I was going for was, it's a good showcase event for Drew. Get a quick little win. Get him on the show. Remember, hey, you can actually have him cut a promo saying, I'm entering the Royal Rumble, where I'm challenging the winner of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. You should do that on this show and set that direction while you get some eyeballs on the product for day one. Hold up your finger.
So I'm holding up my finger, but I'm holding up the finger they don't want me to hold up.
The thumbs up. So you're going Drew, I'm going Drew. Magic 8-Ball, does Madcap Moss get the win? Oh, 8-Ball says Madcap. And the wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Has Drew McIntyre picking up the win. All right, what's next?
Next, we have the Raw Women's Championship, the return of Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. This is one of the ones in question because Becky was held off of Raw for concerns because Seth did test positive for COVID. So because she's been exposed to Seth, they held her off. She has not tested positive, just so everybody's aware. So she's very likely to be there on Saturday, but this could change. This is our return from the match on Raw in which Becky basically grabbed the tights and held the rope to pull off the victory against Liv. I feel like you have to do the change here. You can't get this unless there's just something absolutely egregious that happens to another pay-per-view or even to Raw. Like, if you're going to do it, this is your moment to do it, because there's a lot of momentum behind Liv. There's a lot of people behind Liv. She's been doing some of her best work. She's come into her own with it. She's much more confident than she was at the beginning of this. She's proven herself with this. It's time. Do the thing. Put the title on Liv. Because I feel like if you have her lose again and you try to have her go again against Becky, you're not going to get the reaction that you want where you would hear.
Liv,
if that makes sense.
Liv has talked about in the media that she found the girl, the angry Liv girl. And she was trying to get a DM conversation going. And she invited, I believe she's trying to get her to go to day one, hold up your finger. So that's an interesting thing where maybe they can spotlight that. Like, I know they want to keep Becky strong, and she's going to be in the big Mania match, and it's very easy to put the belt back on Becky, because she's been claiming, I've been champion since, what, WrestleMania 35?
Mm-hmm.
Since she's been active. Was it 35 in New York? Yeah. Was 35 in New York?
Oh, that she's been champ at every WrestleMania since 35?
No. Every day she's been active, she's been champion. When she went out, when she gave up the belt, she just gave up the belt.
Well, she got the belt back at SummerSlam.
Right. So she's held the belt every time she's been active. So for every day, she's been active as champion. That's what they're saying.
Okay, you were saying WrestleMania, not...
No, since WrestleMania 35. She's been a champion since WrestleMania 35. We're coming up on 38. This is what she's been saying in interviews and stuff.
Okay.
She's been an active champion every day.
That's not entirely accurate, but okay.
It's the story they're going... Well, yes and no. She gave up the belt. Anyway, it doesn't matter. If you're going to beat her, it has to feel like a big deal. I hope Liv's ready. Because this would be a moment. This would be a good launching point moment on day one. Is Liv Morgan the person who's going to go to WrestleMania as your champion? No. But we got 4 months before then. We got a couple pay-per-views in between then. Many, many, many Monday nights. As we've talked about on the post-show and many, many times, like, there's a groundswell with Liv. She's been growing. Ever since Money in the Bank, where she sort of was peaking, like, there's a movement behind her. We saw what happened a couple weeks ago, like, was it 2-3 weeks ago or at the point where she had a moment, she lost. The crowd wasn't fully there with her.
Mm-hmm.
But because you have to build it, kind of sad they haven't let her grow the offense again, because you need, it's a repetition thing. You need people to see. She needed to come back after the loss to Becky and get a win. And she hasn't had that win yet.
Mm-mm.
But I understand why and all the things. They did the promos instead and building to it, which is fine. And it's the situation they're in. I want to see Liv get a moment and win this championship. I do. I really do. Because, again, it now establishes someone else. Because then we've had Nikki as champion this year. Rhea as champion. It's like there's more and more people have held a belt. You know, it kind of makes the belt seem more important where everyone's getting it out. This former champion's belt, this former champion. And it adds to that. Instead of Becky and Charlotte and Bayley and Sasha Neal being the only ones with titles, now a Liv-Alexa match seems more important because now they're both former champions at some point down the road. Alexa's a name that's interesting for Mania.
Alexa's, I feel like, on her way back. She's probably going to appear at Rumble.
Yeah.
Like, they've been giving her a lot of time off because she had to have surgery done. And so she's just been resting. She's been out on Instagram. She seems like she's in a really good place. I could see her coming back for Royal Rumble and you do something with her going into Mania for Royal Rumble, because Alexa's kind of somebody who she raised her profile through the Bray Wyatt stuff, but that took her out of the ring, and now they have to sort of reestablish Alexa as a wrestler because she was Bray Wyatt's equal in terms of being more of like an actor versus a wrestler.
Yeah.
Because Bray didn't wrestle a lot either when they were doing the Firefly Funhouse stuff. It was all very much promo work and acting and that kind of thing, and they both tore it up and did an amazing job with it. Like, Alexa proved exactly how talented she is with that stuff and proved how deep and dimensional she can make that character be. What will be interesting with Alexa is what she comes back as. If she comes back as the sort of funhouse version of Alexa or a morphed version of that, or if she comes back just as Little Miss Bliss. Nobody really knows, because in a lot of ways, the Funhouse Alexa ran its course, right? And you have the one person who was really driving it, who was Bray Wyatt, and what all that tied to, he's gone. He's long gone, and he's not coming back. That hurt to say. So for her, it's difficult to kind of keep that character really going, because what it's tied to isn't there anymore, and they're not doing anything necessarily to tie her back to anything else. So I could see them, even though the Lily dolls sold really, really well and little girls really like it and little girls really like Alexa, I could see them doing a hard reset on her and taking her back to who she was before. And the explanation for her being gone is she basically went and had an exorcism done, and then they took the devil out of her, and here she is. Right? Like, and that's how you write that character off into the sunset, is she had an exorcism, y'all. Welcome back. I don't know. But, like, that's how I can see that. But I could also see them bringing her in a tweaked version of that character, because it does really well. It's an attraction, and that company needs attractions right now. It needs to draw people in with really engaging and enigmatic characters, because they don't necessarily have that. They have a handful. Alexa could be a big bonus to that in terms of bringing people in, because she's different. She stands out. She's eye-catching. Everybody's really into the gimmick. As much as people bitch about it, they're into it. They're watching it. So she's an interesting factor, and you could do her versus Liv. You could do her versus Becky. You could have her come in. So I don't really know where I was taking that, but I just had to say that. Don't really have a point. But going back to it, I feel like I said, I feel like with Liv, if she loses here, the only way you're going to get the momentum back for her is if she comes back and wins the Rumble.
And I don't think she's winning the Rumble, so
I don't think she's winning the Rumble. I think it's going to be someone like Alexa that wins the Rumble.
Or Bianca. They may two-peat Bianca winning the Rumble.
Yeah, or you could do Bianca.
So, circling it all back, tying it all in a bow, nice and tight. I can see we're getting one more out of this series. We're going to have Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan at the Royal Rumble. Liv Morgan is champion. Becky will win it back at the Rumble. But Liv's going to win it here.
I think you could, yeah. I think you could do a short little run with her and just have her win the title. That establishes her as a real threat. You have Becky come back. And you could even have someone like, maybe somebody comes to help Liv. Maybe somebody, you know, distracts Becky long enough that, hey, look, Liv's able to pick up the win. Like, maybe Liv gives Becky a taste of her own medicine. I think we'd all be fine with that.
I'd be okay with that. Yeah, Sasha could win the Rumble with it. But we were just sticking on the wrong side. So I'm going Liv.
I'm going Liv.
Magic of the Eight Balls. Does Becky Lynch retain? Concentrate and ask again. So we'll spin the wheel.
Wrestler 2.
Magic 8 Ball. Does Liv Morgan win the championship? Don't count on it. So 8-Ball went Pecky, while the Wheel went Liv Morgan. What's next?
Up next, we have the match nobody wanted, nobody thought they wanted, but we are all 100% here and ready to see it. Edge versus The Miz.
Okay, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it Monday because we didn't do a post-show that because we wanted to save it for here. The wedding vow renewal service, whatever it was fan-freaking-tastic. One, you had Eric Bischoff, Mr. Did Somebody Say 3 Minutes, returned surprisingly on Monday Night Raw. He'll go anywhere. AEW, WWE, doesn't matter, but Eric Bischoff was the one in charge for the ceremony. And it was great. The cheesiness, Miz doing the thing in French for her. And she's like, no, just speak English. Just do the thing and speak normally. The fancy white suit or off-white suit, the white dress, the white suit on Bischoff. Everything was done perfectly. And I love the little nod of, speak now or forever, hold your peace type thing. And Bischoff's like, we all know what's going to happen. Leaning into the meme, and then Edge's music hit. It was perfect. Then the bloodbath with Edge, yeah. And the suit, the whiteness goes away into darkness. All of this was good on Monday.
This was the segment of the night. It was fantastically written, fantastically done, top to bottom. It was over the top. It was comical. It was Miz and Maryse at their finest. And you know that this probably wasn't all scripted, that Miz and Maryse just went out there and did Miz and Maryse, as they always do. And it was really, really good. Eric Bischoff was a really nice touch, because here's the thing about Raw. All the higher-ups weren't there. Like Vince, Pritchard, Dunn, all those types of people, they weren't there. So when you have Eric Bischoff roll up, it was just absolutely hilarious knowing that they're like, oh, hey, Vince is here. Who can we bring in? Ooh, get Bischoff, right? And so Bischoff comes in and he does the ceremony. And when they leaned into the meme, he's like, yeah, so just, we're just gonna, you know.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. Yeah, we're not even going to try to pull the wool over your eyes. We're not going to pretend like we're all going to be really shocked when Edge shows up. We know what's coming. We know you know what's coming. So, boom, here it is. Edge comes out. You know, he and Miz have words. Maryse, by the way, looked gorgeous, and I loved Miz's suit. It was all really well done, but they're all in white. They're all in white, and we're trying to figure out why they're all in white. By the way, Miz wearing winter white as opposed to wearing white, chef's kiss. Like, good on you, sir. You observe Labor Day. I'm very proud of you. Anyway, so we're trying to figure out what's going on, right? And then all of a sudden, the lights go red. We hear the Brood. They're coming. And then they got the black goo out of the truck. God knows how long it's been sitting in there, probably all summer. And they dump it on Miz and Maryse. And Bischoff was disgusted because some of it hit his suit. And it was great.
It was fantastic.
It was so, so well done. So now we go to day one. Hold up your fingers. But with Edge and Maryse, it was the perfect, or I'm sorry, Edge and Miz. Although Maryse would fight him. I have little doubt Maryse would fight Edge. But this was just the perfect send-off for this match. I fully expect Beth Phoenix to show up. They keep kind of hinting at her, and with Maurice's direct involvement, I could completely see like Maryse coming to ringside and being at ringside and trying to interfere in the match, and Beth just like walks out and she's like, not today.
Edge and Beth versus Miz and Maryse in the Royal Rumble would be a great attraction.
That would be fantastic. I think we would all be okay with it.
Because Edge doesn't need to be in the Royal Rumble. He can do another match with The Miz and then find his feud for WrestleMania. Miz doesn't need to be in it. They can do, it's the perfect setup. It's a perfect attraction. So leading to this match, to get to that, you would, some weird way, Miz should win this one, right?
I don't know.
Because if you have Maryse interfere, it would then, if Edge just wins clean, there's no need to bring in Maryse. Or bring in Beth to battle Maryse. Unless Beth makes a run-in. We could also just have a run-in.
I feel like it's going to be a run-in, or it's going to be something like that. Where, because Maryse is going to be there at ringside. Like, she's probably going to come out with Miz, and they're going to do the whole thing. And Beth will either be in the crowd, or she'll run in from the back, or she'll do something. And something will cost someone this match. I don't know, though, because I almost feel like Edge should maybe win this, and Miz comes back and he's like, I can't stand this, that or it ends in a no contest.
It's not going to
end. They just throw it out.
It won't end in a no contest. I can see Maurice trying to interfere, Beth makes a save, and Edge hits a spear and gets the win. And then you have Miz complain on Raw, and then you make the challenge, and you either do the match on Raw or you do it at the Royal Rumble. Because you can also do it as a Raw main event. It all depends. Depends on WrestleMania directions. Yeah, Edge should win us. Now I'm thinking, like, if you're not going to pull the Beth card off for day one, Miz wins. But if you're pulling the Beth card, Edge wins.
Morrison's not with the company anymore, Ash.
Listen to the archives, rockradioshow.com. We've told you all, people have been released. So, yeah, I'm going with Edge.
I could see Edge winning. I feel like Edge kind of maybe needs a win, too. Because he had, I think the last time he wrestled, he won. But it's been a minute since he's wrestled. So, just kind of give him a win, especially since he's going into Rumble and he's going into WrestleMania, start to build him back up. Because that's what this is really for, is to get Edge ready for Mania. So, yeah, I could see Edge winning.
I'm going Edge. You're going Edge.
Yeah, I'm going Edge.
Magic 8-Ball, does Edge win? I look not so good.
Wrestler 1.
That would be the Rated R Superstar. Next.
So, up next, we have... another match. Well, no, this one's not in question, per se.
You never know.
But you never know. We have the SmackDown Tag Team Championships on the line as the Usos are defending against the New Day.
New Day.
We've seen this a million times.
It's always good.
It will be good.
This time it's King Woods.
And the Hand of the King, Kofi Kingston. Sir Kofi. I feel like he should have gotten a dukedom out of it, but whatever. They could have had him be the Duke of Earl. It would have been fine.
In terms of who wins, there's not much to talk about the match. You know the feud. Everyone knows the feud. Everyone knows the history of being between the two teams. It's just really a battle of two really good teams. I say the New Day take the belts. I don't know why. It's just a gut feeling. I think the rise of King Woods continues, and he finally gets some gold to go along with his crown.
You've had the Usos have the title for a long time, and it's kind of the key for the bloodline, and I think you're going to have the bloodline start to falter and fall a little bit, because it's just been a long while. You know, we saw Paul Heyman get heaved to the curbside this past week on SmackDown, right? Where you're starting to see that breakup and those cracks in that group. So the Usos could start to be feeling some of the pressure. Maybe they slip up. Maybe they get overconfident. I don't know, but I could see them putting the titles back on the New Day. And you have the New Day run with the titles because they're always so good with them, right? Like both teams are. They're both credible, wonderful champions, but they're pushing Woods. Woods could do a lot with the tag team's titles right now versus the Usos. They're kind of a prop. The titles, not the people. The titles are kind of a prop.
Well, I mean, they are kind of a prop with Roman. Anyway.
Yeah, they are a prop with Roman. So it's just, you know, they could be so much more useful with the New Day. And it's a way to sort of reinvigorate the Usos and taunt the Usos a little bit. Where it's, oh, hey, look, we got your titles. What are you going to do about it? And that could continue to add strain onto Roman because his boys lost the titles. And that's their sort of like way to hold on to power. Reigns won't interfere. No, you won't see him till his match with later. So yeah, I could see them going New Day easily.
So I'm going New Day. You going New Day?
I'm going New Day.
April, do you go New Day? All right, says asking later. Wheel.
It just said no.
Wrestler 2.
New Day.
So, New Day. So April, New Day? Better not tell me. So it's going.
Damn. All
right. So there you go. Next.
Up next, this is the one of the ones in question, at least in part. WWE Championship is on the line as Big E, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Bobby Lashley all face off in a fatal four-way. Big E defends. Seth was positive for COVID. It is not confirmed if he's going to be there on Saturday or not. Big E was held off the show as a precaution this past Monday night. He's okay. As far as everybody knows, he does not have COVID. Kevin Owens has been doing his Kevin Owens thing, and he's been wonderful and fantastic and awesome. And Bobby Lashley is Bobby Lashley at this point. I think they're trying to possibly turn Bobby Lashley. I don't really know what's going on there. But this is an interesting setup because Big E has had the title now for a while. This is his stiffest competition to date. He's been making strides. He's been proving himself. But can he hold on to the title here?
Win for Big E would cement him and sort of make him, okay, his title reign has been very good. It's been good so far. He's had a couple championship title defenses. He's beat Bobby Lashley. He beat Austin Theory. And I believe he retained on Raw a few weeks ago as well. He suffered some losses along the way to Roman and Lashley. But he came back, got a win over Kevin in the cage and stuff like that. It started as a one-on-one and has morphed into everything. Right now, Kevin Owens is doing his most fantastic work that he's done in a while. He seems very, he's better as a heel. Everyone loves Kevin, but as a heel, Kevin is fantastic because he has the gift of gab. He can talk his way out of any situation and talk himself into any situation. And him on Monday talking to Kevin Patrick and going, you need to change your name. You have 1 week to do it. And then called him a name. And then Seth came up with a name on Twitter as well. And I think it's going to be in Tweet of the Week. We'll talk about it. It's fantastic. Kevin is playing the Kevin Owens he was doing when he was with Jericho, which is always a fantastic, you know, character. Kevin is doing a lot of good things right now. Lashley, it is what it is. He's a name. You gotta get him on the show. Seth Rollins, which apparently in the graphic, it's no longer Seth Rollins. While some lose names, Lindsay, he gained a name.
He did.
It's on his birth certificate now. It's Seth freaking Rollins is his name, apparently, on the thing. I have to go to .com. So, anyway, going back to Big E, would a loss here hurt him? A little. But it would not say his title reign was bad. I kind of want to change up the title picture because when it comes to baby faces as champion, they're always better in the chase. If you come out of this show, right, and Big E is still your champion, you now have to and he's defeated all three people. Now you have to kind of figure out, okay, so what's next? Who's his next challenger? And that's always going to play an interesting role in it. So yeah. As for who comes out on top in this one, I'm leaning between Seth and Kevin for whatever reason.
I like Big E as champion. I love Big E as champion, but I feel like he's maybe stalling out a little bit, and that's not on him. That's on the writing, because I think they're trying to make him as strong as possible. I think they want to push him as much as possible. But the problem with this is you have two really strong personalities in Seth and Kevin. And you have Seth, who's been consistently turning in some of his best work, probably for the past, I would argue, 6 months, if not more. He has just been on point. And since moving him to Raw, he has really been thriving on Raw. Kevin is turning in his best work, and he just re-signed with the company. I feel like they're lining him up for a really huge push, something that he could potentially win the Rumble and go on to fight for the title at Mania. I don't know why, but I don't see E winning this. I hate saying that because I want E to win. I want E to be champion. I was ecstatic when he won, but I feel like maybe it's time that you have E lose the title and he chases again.
And what you just said right there is the best thing WWE can ask for. There's doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You going into a big match with four people, you want it to be doubtful that the champion retains it. When they do, it's a surprise. That means they've done their job. They've built Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins and someone of Bobby Lashley up to be real credible threats going, hey, they're going to win. Most Roman Reigns matches, you go, Roman wins. John Cena matches for a long time. John Cena wins. Lol. Doubt is always a good thing. It doesn't hurt the champion that there's doubt that he'll win. It means he's overcoming the odds, like a babyface should. He has three heels going against him right now. Three of the best in the company going after him for the title.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing their job. Everything's being done perfect. For argument's sake, I'm going to go Seth Rollins walks out with the title. That's my pick. What's your pick?
I'm trying to pick between Seth and Kevin. I almost feel like Seth and Kevin cancel each other out a little bit, even though they're doing some of their best, because at some point Seth and Kevin are just going to go for each other, and I feel like Big E could capitalize.
He could.
And then there's Bobby Lashley. Like, I feel like all three of them could potentially take out Bobby Lashley early or take out Big E early, because, you know, Big E and Bobby Lashley, they're two really big dudes. So you automatically get rid of the other big dude first, then you go for the second big dude, and then you break it down to whoever's left, right?
Who you got?
Fuck. I don't know.
As you think, all right, I'm gonna give you a moment to think. Magic 8-Ball, will Big E retain? Don't count on it. Magic 8-Ball, I'm gonna ask you another question. Will Seth Rollins win the title? Most likely. So there's that choice there.
I'm gonna say Big E retains.
Okay.
Just to be different.
And Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
Big E. Alright. Main event time.
Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. Paul Heyman will not be at ringside for Roman. He has been given the old heave-ho and fired.
So, Paul Heyman was fired after claiming he has been protecting Roman Reigns from Brock Lesnar. After Roman asked, why are you protecting Brock from me? It's the other way around. Paul Heyman is the catalyst for this entire story. Will be a catalyst on Saturday at Day One. Hold up your finger, because he's going to decide who is the future Universal Champion. Will he be the advocate, or will he come back and help Roman Reigns retain the title against Brock Lesnar? Everything they've been doing with Brock lately has been fantastic. Him and Sami Zayn as an act together for a few weeks. Perfect.
It's just so good.
It's great comedy. Brock, top-notch Brock, is the best Brock Lesnar you're ever going to see, because he's just being himself. It is fantastic. It's great work. And we've seen him evolve from not caring to becoming Brock Lesnar, the destroyer, the beast incarnate. He's coming back and he's destroying people. And now it's the time for Roman and Brock to go one-on-one at Day One. Hold up your finger. Who walks out champion? I don't think it matters who walks out champion, because they're probably going to go again at WrestleMania, which is fine. But you got a long way to go, and how we get there, I don't know. It would make sense for Brock Lesnar to walk out of here and defeat Roman Reigns as champion and become champion, just so you now have Roman Reigns looking for revenge. He lost his special counsel. The Usos now will then lose their championships. And now the Bloodline has to regroup and rebound. And we're in a position to see that happen.
Here's the thing, and this would be an interesting question. Has Paul Heyman been playing the long game? We all know Paul. We all know how nefarious and scheming he can be. And we know that he likes to pull strings and kind of be the puppet master, the master manipulator. And maybe he's just, you know, been keeping Roman close. Roman's the biggest threat to Brock. Roman has the title, and he's been keeping the title. Let's say he's been keeping the title warm for Brock. Paul's been assisting with that, learning everything he can about Roman, how he thinks, how he operates, all those things. So he can take that information back to Brock, feed it to Brock, so Brock can potentially beat Roman. You had that really, really great moment the last time these two went, where Paul Heyman did not take a side. He just threw the title in the ring and said, you know what to do with it. Not directed to anyone, right? It was just, take the title, you do you. But he's continued to side with Roman, supposedly, but we've been getting these hints. He's talking to Brock. They're friends, right? He's still advising Brock. He's still advocating for Brock, but he's also working for Roman. So he's not playing sides, but he's working with both. So he could be feeding Roman information about Brock. We don't know. It's a very interesting story. I kind of wish we got more details on it. This is one of those stories that is really kind of wasted on wrestling somewhat, because there's so many little inner workings that it would make a great, like, TV show. Or, you know, like maybe like a little movie where it's, you have all this intrigue going on, and you don't really know what's what till the end. And this is going to be, for the moment, the end, right? Or Paul Heyman, he's pulling those strings, he's working everything. Who's he with? Who's he for? We saw the battle for Paul Heyman's love, and nobody, and in theory, Roman won. Or did he? We don't know. I will say this, that Roman has kept the title for well over a year. He has surpassed a certain other person who held the title for 434 days. And he has passed that with authority. Yeah. No one has been able to beat Roman. No one has come close, except for maybe Brock. I personally, just for the sake of SmackDown, I want to see the title change. because I want to see the bloodline. This is what I said earlier. I want to see it stumble and fall. I want to see those cracks start to show. I want, because it's like the way this whole thing got started was Roman came back, beat Bray, took the title. He came back with Heyman. Then he bullied his one cousin into working for him, and the other cousin came on board because he loves his brother. You have the Usos, they're lying in wait. Could the Usos turn on Brock? Or, I'm sorry, turn on Roman? We don't know. Because, like, here's the other factor. Have the Usos been playing a long game where it's like, you know what? We're going to do what he wants us to do. Because it's easier to keep him on side than it is to fight him. As long as he has the title, he's too powerful. That's the story that they've been telling, is that Roman has all the power because he's the champion. Even though it's kind of sort of like a figurehead thing. But anyway, that's what they kind of told with the Usos. And so the Usos have just kind of been, you know, coasting. They've been with Roman. They've been standing by his side. But hey, I bet they have a long memory because we have a long memory. And we all remember how Roman basically bullied and abused his cousin and impressed him into service. And then you had the brother try to save his brother and it didn't work. And so the Usos just kind of like came together because the one brother didn't want to see his brother and Roman fight. So they all agreed, all right, let's just let bygones be bygones and be together. That was the story. That never got resolved. So those issues are right there below the surface in the bloodline. It's all there. It's all waiting to be sort of uncovered and exposed. And we're coming into the perfect season to do that, aka WrestleMania, where the Royal Rumble is on the horizon. Mania is on the horizon. Roman has to face a challenger. Or does he? Because Brock could come in and take that title off of him. Like, there's a lot of really intriguing, interesting stuff going on here. It's very well written. I like where they're going with it. Again, I would love to see all the, like, the little nitty-gritty details going on there.
So, rumor has it, this is going to be the big... This is they made sure that Roman was safe and healthy and they're ready to go. Because this is going to have the big kickoff to WrestleMania season. This is the match that's going to spark some interest, and there's going to be a big moment that happens. So, Chad saying it's going to be wasted on Brock beating Roman is kind of a waste, and it should go to someone like Drew. I don't disagree. I would want it to be someone other than Drew because we've had the Drew story. He's done his moments. But do we all remember who Brock Lesnar is? Do we all remember who Brock Lesnar is when it comes to defeating things? Ending things, conquering things. Because back in the day, he was the one in 21-1.
Well, to be fair, Roman's the 2 in
23-2.
23-2, so.
But he was the first.
He was the first. Brock did it first, and then Roman followed it up.
He ends streaks. Brock could end the streak here. I want to see Brock win the title. I don't think Brock wins the title. I think Brock may win the Rumble. Honestly, he could win the Rumble. Whoever loses this match is going to win the Rumble, I think. That's my bold prediction. Whoever loses this match wins the Rumble.
I feel like after Brock, they don't necessarily have anybody lined up for Roman. You have some people that could do it, but I think just to refresh the brand, because Roman has been the perpetual champion for a year and a half now, that it makes sense to change the title. Even if you just do a really quick run with Brock, where he beats Roman just to beat Roman because he can. And he laughs and he throws the title down and he walks out. Like, he doesn't even care about the title. It's not about that. It's just about shutting Roman up. It's about beating him. Because I feel like that's what that is for Brock. Because it's like, especially with the way that they're having him appear, where he's top-notch Brock. He doesn't give a fuck, right? He's just there to do whatever he wants. That's who Brock Lesnar is right now. That he just beats Roman because Roman's there to beat. Brock literally has nothing to prove. He doesn't need any more titles. He doesn't need any more wins. He's Brock Lesnar, right? He's untouchable. He really, truly is. So I could just totally see him just doing it. Purely for funsies, which we don't necessarily see Brock ever do. And I would kind of be okay with that, because just think about it. Brock beats Roman, wins the title, and he's like, you know what? I don't want to fucking do this shit. I don't want to be champion. Here, figure it out. And he vacates the title. And you have to crown a new champion. And now all of a sudden, the title's up for grabs for anybody to take. So someone maybe like a King Woods, or a Kofi, or a Drew. or a Roman or somebody they're looking to make, they could do a tourney that leads to the Royal Rumble, which is a crowning of the new champion.
Meh, I don't think they'll go that far.
I don't think they'll go that far, but it could be an interesting concept if that's what you do. I personally just want to see the title change. I'm a little tired of Roman being champion. I think it's time to put some cracks in that armor. I think it's time to have him start to lose it a little bit. The loss of Paul Heyman, I think, is going to be felt deeper than we think, because honestly, no offense to Roman, I don't think he's as clever as or as smart as he thinks he is. I think a lot of that moving and shaking was Paul Heyman following Roman's orders and making it happen. And Roman now has to figure it out for himself, and I don't know if he can figure it out or do it as well as Heyman can. That's the thing.
So you're going Brock.
I'm going Brock.
I kind of want to go Brock, but I'm going to go Roman. Roman. 8-Ball, does Roman Reigns retain? Outlook good. Magical Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Roman Reigns.
LeMans, I'm just going to make this point. Breaking the streak should have been a big moment to give a rub to somebody who really needed it, and they gave it to Brock. That's all I'm going to say.
And he ran with it.
And he ran with it, but Brock didn't necessarily need it. And even Taker has come out and said, yeah, it probably shouldn't have been Brock.
But with that, I say we take a quick break.
I say we take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about NXT, including the New Year's Evil quick pick. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f*** moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw post show, Monday nights 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to The Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
And And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadio.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, making its long awaited return, Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. Have to scroll down. Okay. 'Cause it's been a minute.
It's been a hot minute.
Manishi. Ali thought the fee to open a bank account was $500. It's one banana, Michael. How much could it cost? $10? Christian Bannis puts out a tweet of his follower count on Twitter. 69K followers. The caption, nice.
Nice, yeah.
Replies back. Let it be known that I have lost followers because of this, and that is hilarious, LMAO. I mean, it is. Emmerich Azor tweets, Griffin Burns in all caps, and it's a picture of voice actor Griffin Burns in front of a burning house. And he responds, thank you for the new profile pic, follows it up for maximum effect, where he changed his name on Twitter to Griffin with the flame icon. Because his name is Griffin Burns.
Nice.
HGTV. The last HGTV show you watch is getting a crossover with your favorite film series. Hit us with some titles. Lena B. I feel like Saw Hometown is a little too dark, but the potential for Power Tools being featured is legit. Ryan Bartholomew tweets, Spider-Man, Hometown. HGTV responds, with great Power Tools comes great responsibility. John Wick, Forever Home. And it's a gif of John Wick. I'm working on it. Actually, I would be kind of down for Keanu Reeves to do a show. I'm sure he'd actually probably be really good at it. That's all I have. All
right. Here we go. Today at signing, a fan brought me an empty peppermint mocha Starbucks cup for 50. A fan bought my empty peppermint mocha Starbucks cup for $50. And mom said modeling on Instagram would never get me anywhere. Twitch. Was John seeing the Suicide Squad trailer? If he was, you probably couldn't see him.
Lol.
Fortnite Intel. What do you think Med Mist Spray smells like? Axe. Me.
I mean, fair.
Wrestling News. Tony Concha have announced Urban Meyer's firing on AEW Dynamite to pop a rating.
I mean, he could have.
Razzle. Ruin a video game by replacing one word with ass. Their suggestion was Ass Crisis. Fast Feet. Ass Night.
Wow.
Mina does ruin it. It's a kid's game. Sean Rossap. Veer is coming. And he's coming hard. He's been coming so much. Denise Salcedo. He's been coming in Raw.
Oh my god, the Veer jokes. Here we go. Here it comes.
That's the only couple of Veer jokes I had. Can't keep making them. They write themselves. IndieWire. Zoe Kravitz studied real cat fights to play Catwoman in the Batman. Alex Winter. I studied a lot of people named Bill to play Bill, and no one ever talks about that because he was Bill and Bill and Ted. Rain Wilson. Someday I will wrestle Sting and I will win. You can bet on it. Sting. I may have to break out the flying toehold. You don't even want to know it. So on Raw, Kevin Owens brought up how he main evented Madison Square Garden with Edge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or main event of Madison Square Garden. I didn't say he fought Edge, but main event of Madison Square Garden. I said, don't look it up, just take my word. Sam goes, you lost last night to Edge in a steel cage match, so do you have anything to say? Kevin, well, they got it wrong, clearly. I already said to take my word for it and not to look it up. You should learn to follow directions better, Sam. Sam,
wow.
Sam then found footage. I do need more proof that Edge beat you. Do I need more proof? And he shows the video. Kevin, CGI, those aren't actual dinosaurs in Jurassic Park either. And finally, so WWE on Fox put out the Grayson Waller's video about Detroit and how it's saying this place sucks. The Detroit Tigers go, guess we found WWE's softest wrestler if this guy can't handle cold. Sheesh.
Ouch.
WWE replied, he has been described as the absolute worst. That was Tweet of the Week.
All right. So speaking of Grayson Waller, let's talk all about New Year's Evil and NXT.
Should I hit the bumper?
Hit the bumper.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So a couple of things, quick notes from NXT, because we're not going to run down the full show, but for the last couple of weeks, Harlan is just whooping ass. He's creepy, but he's just whooping ass.
They're fast-tracking Harlan. You can see it. They're getting him ready to go. I kind of feel bad for Joe Gacy, because I feel like whatever they're going to do with Harlan, they're not going to include him, but I don't know.
No, I think so, because he'll be the voice.
But again, still bitter because this has such Wyatt family vibes to it, like straight up Wyatt family vibes, that like I just can't even deal with it sometimes. Like just the look on Joe Gacy's face this past week was like just straight up evil.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. And he's doing Bray Wyatt, or an imitation, not like he's doing his version of Bray Wyatt. You can see it. You can see the mannerisms, you can see the facial expressions, you can see all of it, that he has at least watched Wyndham. Maybe not a lot, but you can see Wyndham's influence on it, because that's what he's doing.
Yeah. So, we've seen that. We saw the debut of Tiffany Stratton. They were leaning more heavy into her, you know, athletic abilities. At least on commentary, they were talking about it.
I'm glad, because she didn't have a face until she walked out. Like, I'm sorry, I just have a huge problem with the promo package, because literally, she didn't have a face in it. All they did was concentrate on her body, which that's not necessarily a bad thing, but just, I get annoyed with that, where they're like, we're not going to show you what she looks like, we're just going to focus on her tits and her ass, because that's all that matters.
But she looked alright in the ring.
She looked alright in the ring. She reminds me a lot of Lacey Evans, okay, with the look.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if that's a good thing. I will say the chick that they had her wrestling was super cute. Fallon, what's her bucket? She was cute.
So for weeks we've seen Nash and Wes, the MSK, search for their shaman, and they found them in Riddle. And they've had some interactions lately. And MSK challenged Imperium for it to a match, and then on the phone came Walter, and he you know, he was making some claims, and then, because Riddle first was on the screen talking, and then Riddle Skyped back into the conversation, and they created a 6-man tag match. I love the phone call interruption thing. That made me chuckle.
That made me chuckle too.
So yeah,
that was good.
So for our first quick pick of the night, it's Riddle and MSK taking on Imperio. We're getting Walter and Riddle in the same ring together.
This is gonna be so ugly. This is just going to be so ugly. I can't wait for it.
Ugly in a good way.
Yeah, this is, somebody's going to die. Like, I remembered her first name, Brent. What do you want from me? You know what? Google it. What is her last name?
Henley. He wrote Henley.
Fallon Henley. She's super cute. Are you happy? Moving on. So, yeah, this is Walter's, I think, return to the States, because he hasn't been back.
He is now coming stateside.
And, like, hold on, something's trying to do something, and it's being weird. Anyway, so, like, this is just going to be nasty. I'm sorry, that's all I can say. This is just going to be nasty, because Riddle, I think people forget, he can go, and he's taken Walter on.
So who you got, Imperio or Riddle and MSK?
Oh, fuck.
I'm going Riddle and MSK, because that'll lead to a tag title match.
But it's Walter.
I know it's Walter.
It's Walter, though. Like, I know Dragunov beat him for the title, but it's Walter going against Riddle and MSK. And I'm sorry, I know Matt Riddle can go, but I feel like Walter's going to smack the shit out of everybody, and that's going to be it.
Okay, so you're going Imperium.
I say Imperium, yeah.
Okay. So, back at War Games, there was the strong talk about the Cruiserweight Championship going away, and we thought it would go to Showcase, and they renamed the belt. Instead, they are unifying the Cruiserweight Championship with the North American Championship, so the winner will come out of this match as North American Champion. It's Carmelo Hayes and Roderick Strong. Who you got? I like the idea of Roddy getting it just so Bivens can brag about it, but I'm thinking Carmelo walks out with both titles and unifies the belts.
I'm kind of on board with that just because I feel... Because here's my thing. Okay, Roddy has had the Cruiserweight title now since the Diamond Mine was essentially formed. He hasn't done a lot with it, rightfully so, because they haven't really been pushing it, so that's not on him.
Yeah, they kind of sacked the Cruiserweight division. They basically ruined the show. Is probably going to get a new name change too once they get rid of the belt officially.
Yeah, so it's like, for him, it's like he's just basically cockworming this title. I just don't see... I don't see them giving it back to Roddy, because I feel like at this point, and we've talked about this before, he needs to... They need to spin Bivens and...
Ivy.
Ivy off. And you need to have Bivens and Ivy go do their own thing. And have Bivens manage her. You have Roddy spin off with the Diamond Mine, and you have Roddy continue that, or you have Roddy go off and do his own thing. Because poor Roddy has kind of been lost since the end of Undisputed Era and the fact that they've all left. And so he's kind of the only one left. And he doesn't really have an identity, because basically Undisputed Era ended. And he's like, yeah, so I'm just going to go like hang out at my house for like a couple months. Then come back.
Wait, Undisputed Era ended? I thought it's still an ongoing act on Wednesday nights.
I'm not going there. I'm not touching that. Anyway. So I feel, because I feel like for me, like the Diamond Mine, while in theory is a good idea, it has yielded Ivy and Malcolm Bivens. I feel like in practice, it's just, it was kind of like they started something with it and then they half-assed it and then they didn't do anything else with it. And so I think you don't have Roddy win here. You let Carmelo get it. You let Carmelo unite the titles and you let Carmelo move on. And you can have Roddy and Carmelo continue the feud if you want. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but I feel like, yeah, Carmelo here, he should win the title.
So a couple weeks ago, AJ Styles wandered his way onto NXT after hearing Grayson Waller talk about him. And, well, they had a conversation a couple weeks ago on NXT, and then AJ Styles mentioned he's going to be at NXT next week. We had Grayson Waller on Raw to set up this match. It's AJ Styles, Grayson Waller. AJ Styles is going to whoop Grayson Waller, because I don't think AJ Styles is coming to lose on NXT.
Someone has it really, really bad for Grayson Waller. And I don't know who it is. Like, it's not bad. I don't understand who has, like, the hard-on in the back for Grayson Waller.
Shawn Michaels.
Well, isn't Uncle Sean sweet?
Should be a fun match, but I don't see AJ losing. I see Grayson taking the loss and sort of figuring it out from there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I think I just don't see Grayson winning. I don't see the point of Grayson. I have a hard time with it. So I do find it interesting that they're having AJ come in to work with Grayson, though. That's very interesting.
A veteran hand coming in, working with the younger talent.
Well, I kind of have to wonder if the powers that be maybe realized that they got rid of too much of their veteran talent when they went in this new direction, and now they don't have enough because they've lost people and they've gotten rid of people. And you have all these young, relatively inexperienced guys who don't necessarily know how to work yet. Like, they're figuring it out. Some of them are better at it than others, but you need those veteran hands there to help guys and girls really learn and get through it. People who've been a part of the product for a while, you have those staples. And Johnny and Tommaso and Kyle and Adam and Bobby Fish, all these people that they have lost, they were your staples for a long time. They helped get people over. They helped people get ready to move forward, and now they're gone. So I think somebody realized, hey, look, we need a veteran hand to come in and work with these people. And AJ either volunteered or AJ got asked or whatever. Like, the feud's been fine. The feud's been good. Like, the back and forth has been good. But I just find it really interesting that they're having AJ come down and work with Waller. They're having Riddle come down and work with MSK. I kind of wonder if they want a little star power on that show as well, because the ratings are dipping. And they're like, hey, we need to do something about this. So let's go get people that, you know, are going to be recognized on this show. Because I'll be the first to admit, it has been hard to watch NXT. It has been really, really hard to watch it because it's very difficult to get invested in the product, in the show, in the talent, knowing that it's temporary. I think what made NXT good in the past for a lot of people was you knew a lot of the talent was eventually going to go to the main roster, but some of the talent wasn't. Some of the talent were going to stay around with you. And like I said, we had our staples. And now we've lost them, and they have done nothing to reestablish those new staples, right? People that we'll come to rely on every single week to be there, because in truth, that's not going to be a thing anymore. People aren't going to hang around for 3, 4, 5 years down there. 6 months top, and they're up, or they're fired.
So, I'm going to interrupt you. It reminds you of how NXT first started, when you brought some talent down, like Cesaro, and the like that came down early to work with the younger talent. That's what it reminds you of.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't a bad thing, because they're not long-term for that for the product. But them popping in and out, it's not a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it brings fresh blood in, but at the same time, it's been difficult for me to watch NXT, especially when there's a lot of other distractions. The same thing holds true for WWE in general and wrestling in general. Like, it's just in a place where I'm not necessarily as invested in it as I used to be, so it's harder for me to watch it as a result.
Yeah.
Like, I don't watch, I've kind of gotten into this habit where I don't watch NXT on Tuesdays anymore. I wait and watch it on a Wednesday or a Thursday because I don't need to watch it live because we do it for the show. And it's like, well, I can watch it on DVR or on demand and still get it and still see it.
Yeah. So tying it all back together, who wins, AJ or Grayson?
I think AJ.
We're going AJ. It's Mandy Rose, Cora Jade, Raquel Gonzalez, Women's Championship on the line. Mandy's losing the belt, I think, to Cora Jade.
That's quick.
No, I think Mandy gets it back in a few weeks, but I think Cora gets the upset win and walks out with the belt. And Mandy gets it back maybe as early as the week after. But I have a feeling they're going to go for an upset win and Cora takes the belt.
I can see that. I don't see it going back to Raquel.
It could.
Here's the thing. She kind of got stuck in that awkward spot. Because she was the transitional champion when they went from Hunter to what it is now. And so, like, she sort of got lost in the sauce. But they brought Mandy Rose down for a reason. They brought her to make her again. It could be that she loses the title and Toxic Attraction goes. Or she goes and then she brings the girls up after they lose the tag team titles. Because they know they have a hot act. Pun intended. They know they've got something there and they could bring her up, especially now that a spot has opened up on SmackDown, to have her fill that spot. So I could see that. I could see her losing the title. She doesn't necessarily need it. It's Cora Jade, Mandy Rose.
Raquel.
And who's fourth?
There's only three.
Oh, there's only three. Okay. I thought there was four.
No.
Fuck it. Cora Jade.
All right. This one's very simple. Tommaso Ciampa, Bron Breakker. Going to be really good. Bron Breakker's your new champion.
You got to do it here. You have to pull the trigger here.
If you don't, Braun's win the Rumble.
Yeah, Braun's a tough one because they're getting him ready to go. Like, they're fast-tracking him. He's another one that they know they have something. So he's not long for NXT, but at the same time, you at least want to give him a little credibility. I could see him being in the Rumble. I don't think he's winning it because I don't think he's ready for that. I just don't. I think he needs a few more months down there. Give him a run with the title, see how he does with it before you bring him up and put him in a major feud. But yeah, you have to do it here. No offense to Tommaso. He's been that steady, constant champion. Braun's now ready to go to at least take the title off of him. Let's do the thing.
So that's New Year's Evil. We'll have a recap next Thursday night live on The Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We will have the recap. And we're doing the recap of day one. Hold up your fingers on New Year's Day, Saturday night, 10 p.m.-ish. So check that out. And you've got other stuff to plug, so plug away.
Okay, so as mentioned, The Rack X Reviews, day one, hold up your finger, Saturday night, 11 Eastern? Whatever time. I think it's
11. Oh, yeah, that's right. Whenever the pay-per-view ends. I said 10-ish, but whenever the pay-per-view ends.
Oh, it's more like it's 11 because it starts at 8 now. It's 11-ish, which means no CB Radio. So CB Radio Live returns January 8th, midnight-ish. So tune in for that. Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio returns 10 p.m. Eastern. They're going to do their review of Day 1, Hold Up Your Finger. Monday Night the Raw Post Show returns 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for The Rack. The Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Fortnite with Friends will return on the 8th. So we're all clear. At Wild Talk Radio, it's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock or
Linz M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LANSWRD. Check out my Twitch streams, twitch.tv/LinzWard, where I sit here and I stream Genshin Impact and I have a good time. So please check it out. I've kind of established a schedule. I've been streaming all week, so go check out my VODs. I've been having some fun there. And then I stream generally 5:30-ish, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with Genshin. Their 2.4 is coming, guys. There's a brand new drop, new world, new things. And I will be rolling for characters because they're dropping new characters. So I'm saving wishes, I'm saving Prima Gems, and I'm going to spend money. So please come check it out. Check out my Twitter to announce that. And if you'd like to use my creator code, Linz M. Ward, in the Epic Game Store, I would greatly appreciate it because I am a hashtag Epic Partner. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. Everybody, we hope you have a safe, happy, healthy new year. Everybody, take care of yourselves. Have a good time. Remember to laugh and smile and just enjoy the day because tomorrow is the last day of 2021 and then we will be in 2022, which is very, very scary. So till then, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com and we will see you later. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.